If you turn to your pew Bibles, you'll be able to follow the reading, which is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 33. To set the scene where we join the reading, it is just immediately following those two people who are walking on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus joined them on the way. And he opened the scriptures to them because he asked them, why are you so sad? Why are you so down? And they said, well, don't you know what's happened? And then Jesus, as a stranger walking with them because they didn't see him, listened as he shared the reality of the fact that those events had to take place. And then he revealed himself to them. Their eyes were opened when he broke bread, and they realized. And immediately then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And God will bless that reading of his word to us. Okay. Now, can you remember what was on that tray? A stapler? Okay. Sorry? Paperclip, yeah. Scissors. Paperclip. Car keys. Letter opener, yeah. Nail, yeah. Basket, yeah. Two things I haven't heard yet.
Pencil.
Pencil. A ruler. Okay, yeah, you're good. You're good. You remembered. It's easy to get distracted, isn't it, and forget. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had some news and you can't wait to share it? I think Sue was in that situation a little while back. And, of course, she was happy to share it. And that's good, because we can share things very quickly these days, can't we? Almost immediately, if we want to share something, if they're on the phone, we can phone them. If they're on the computer, or if we're on the cell phone, or there are many ways in which we can share something that we really want to share. We're living in days of communication that is so easy. And if you think about some news that you really want to share, something that suddenly has dawned upon you and you really want to share it, put yourself in that situation and just stop and think a moment about it. If you've had something really happened to you and you really want to share, let's stop for a moment. Maybe you've got something you want to share with us today. I don't know. Does anybody want to share anything like that? An experience you've had that you really, something's happened and you really want to share it with somebody? Somebody special maybe you want to share it with. Wonderful. Praise God. There we are. It's good to share. We need to share more with each other, don't we? We need to share the good news. We're often sharing the bad news, but we need to share good news. Anybody else want to share anything special that has happened and you want? Maybe something recently that has taken place that you want to share. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful when we have something really good to share? Because we can so often be so down and flat. There are many times that there are things that happen that we really, really want to share, and we can't wait to share it. The one thing that sticks in my mind, there are a few that stick in my mind. I like to hear from you, but one of the things that sticks in my mind was an occasion. I won't say how long ago it is, but I remember the time when I became a dad. And that little baby had been born. And I wanted my mum to know. And I couldn't wait to get back home. And I figured out, now if I catch the bus, I'm gonna have to go down there, go change buses. And I really want to get there. I want to share the good news that I have. And I walked it. By the time I got home, it was over, up some hills, down some hills, up another hill, down. And I was perspiring a little bit. But I was so glad when I was able to share it with my mom. Another occasion that I remember very well was the time, I shared it last week, the time when I came to faith, when I realized that what Jesus had done was for me. It was personal, and I invited him to come into my heart and into my life. And this past couple of days, one person who had been involved in teaching me as a child some of the Bible stories has gone home to glory. But I remember that day when my sister and I we relived it the other in February when I was with her, and. I remember how excited I was, how I wanted to share with my Sunday school teacher the fact that I now knew Jesus to be my Savior. And I was so excited. I so wanted to be there to share them. Well, this story, this passage that we read is part of this, that these two people who had walked on their way to Emmaus, they had suddenly seen Jesus and they realized they had been so down and so upset about the events that had taken place. They didn't really understand what had taken place. And as Jesus opened the scriptures to them, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us? And as he walked with us on the way. And then they couldn't wait to get back to, they had left Jerusalem. They wanted to get back to be with their friends, the other disciples, and share with them. You know, it's really true that Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's not left on that cross. He's not left in that tomb. He is alive. And so it says that they got up and returned at once. Think of the urgency of it. They wanted to get back to affirm the reality of the truth that Jesus is alive. was no longer dead, but was alive again. And so they hastened back. It is described as a day's journey from Jerusalem. I'm not sure how quickly they got there, but I'm sure they made haste. I'm sure they didn't. On my way home from school, I used to be accused of dawdling. I don't know whether that's a term that you use here. Is that a term you use? Yeah, you're not in a hurry to get anywhere. You just take your time. But there was an urgency about it. They wanted to get back to be with the disciples, to share the wonderful news. Because they had been a witness. They had seen. And what they had seen, they believed. And as they got back to Jerusalem, they found that they got back, and it says that they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." So they were just hearing this, that Peter is sharing the good news too. He is sharing with the others. You know, Jesus is risen. And so here these other two came back from Emmaus, and they were excited, and they said, "Yes, we want to share with you what happened to us." There was that affirmation. They had all, that Peter and the two on the way to Emmaus, they had witnessed the risen Christ, and they wanted to share it with those in that room that they'd closed themselves off. It is true. You see, you know, where many times we hear a story, we hear an account, and sometimes we question, is it really true? I tell you, don't believe everything you read in the newspapers, because sometimes it's not true. We need to verify. We need to have something to back it up. And so this was the situation. I often hear in the apartments where in Barrie where I work, I always have to double check on what somebody tells me, because they often have things, they have heard a little bit of the story, but it's askew, it's not quite the real thing. And we need to be sure with the Word of God that we are hearing what is true. And they were so excited, they said, "It's true, we've seen the Lord, he is risen." Do you know, as I just picture that scene, the excitement of those who had seen Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine how excited they were? They'd been so down at heel. They'd been so depressed. And now they were excited because Jesus had conquered death. He was no longer dead. Wow. What an experience. I can only feel that a little bit from when I came to faith in the first place. It's like a fire burning. You want to share. I wanted to share with everyone. And that's the way we should be. If we encounter Jesus, we know and we have that assurance, and we can be excited because it's true. Or maybe people can doubt our experience, but they can't. They can't, because what we have experienced is real. If we have come to faith in Christ and he has come into our lives, then it's real. And we can share. We are a witness because he has witnessed to us. And we witness the joy that takes place in our hearts and the peace that he gives to us. And so they were in this room excited about what the news, sharing together. It's good to share the good news. Thank you for those who shared the good news today. But you know, just imagine, just picture the scene. I love to put myself in that situation, as you know by now. Because we need to live the scriptures. We need to see that the events that we're reading are real. They are facts. And they can be proved. The next thing, what happens? Jesus comes. The one that they'd been talking about appears to them, appears in that room with them, so that everybody else could go through that experience that the others had experienced. so that they too could witness the risen Christ. And as he appeared, he said to them, "Peace be with you, Shalom." It is a normal greeting in Israel, but here he wanted to bring peace. But the scripture, Luke, who was very careful in his narrative of the gospel, he was a doctor by profession, and he was very concerned about checking out what he was writing. And Luke records this, that Jesus said to those who were there, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost doesn't have flesh and blood, flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And he says, while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have something here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He appeared with them, but they were frightened. They were startled. They just didn't believe what they saw with their eyes. It was just didn't seem real. It was like, can it really be true? And Jesus gave them that proof that they needed, that their eyes were eventually opened, that they saw the Lord. And verse 45 says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. You see, those who were there had witnessed so much, and they had felt so overwhelmed with sorrow, and yet here was Jesus giving them hope, helping them to see that death was not the end, but there was resurrection, that there was power over death. And so you just picture those people together in that room, and how excited those who had come shared. You know, it is an amazing story that we need to hold on to. And we need to recognize that it is important to have the witness, to have the person who has seen, to share. And so there we have in this account in Luke's gospel that those there witness that Jesus was risen. It was a body resurrection. He wasn't a spirit. It was his body that had risen from the dead. And he ate, not just on this occasion, but on another occasion. And you know, John records that on the first occasion Jesus appeared to the disciples in that room that was closed, there was one of those disciples missing. And despite the fact that those who were there had witnessed it, and they shared the witness, they were witnesses, and they said, I'm going to share with you, I've shared with you. Thomas, do you know we met the Lord? Jesus is risen. And he said, unless I see with my own eyes, unless I put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand in his side, then I'm not going to believe. And you know, the reality is that there are many people who don't like to hear the eyewitness account. Don't like to hear the actual realization. They want to see for themselves. And it's right that they need to see for themselves. But it didn't stop those who had witnessed it witnessing. It didn't stop those who had seen to share that they had seen the Lord. They had seen the Christ risen. As Jesus shared with them, as he opened their minds, he shared with them again the scriptures concerning himself. And listen to what he said. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So here was an opportunity for those frightened disciples to just begin to take in what Jesus had taught them. I believe through those years of his ministry as they had been with him, they had a limited knowledge, a limited understanding. But now, because he was returning to his Father, he was going back to heaven from where he came. He wanted those who were left behind to be witnesses. He wanted those who were left behind to understand the scriptures, how the scriptures spoke of himself. And so in those 40 days between the time of before the coming of the Holy Spirit to them at Pentecost, he continued to teach them. There were moments when he met with them and shared with them, when they could absorb the reality of what he had done, that he really had come to conquer sin. He really had come to give hope for the future. He really had come to talk about resurrection power, to show that he had come into the world for us. He had really come on a rescue mission. Just put yourself in those disciples' shoes. They witnessed, they saw, and as I shared last week, as I talked about the resurrection, what was of first importance? That Jesus appeared at one time to more than 500 at one occasion. So he appeared, he showed himself to be alive to many, and it could be checked out. It's a fact of history, although some would contend, just as some deny the reality of the Second World War. The reality is that we need to be witnesses. We all need to come to that place and get excited about Jesus, about what he has done for us. So often we lose sight of him. We lose sight of what God has done for us. But those who came from Emmaus, they wanted to be back there. They wanted to share. Yes, he is risen. Jesus is alive. What a joy. We have that opportunity. We may not see Jesus by our eyes, but we can see in faith what he has done. As we read the eyewitness accounts, as we read the gospel accounts, as we read and understand the reality that Christ died for our sins, he was buried and rose again victorious on that third day. We come to that place of understanding that it was for us, that Jesus died for us, he was buried for us, he rose again for us. And you know, the wonderful thing is that we can be a witness. I remember as a young man, as a teenager, we, as a group of young teenagers, wanted other teenagers to know the reality of the message that we have, the joy we have in knowing God, of knowing Jesus to be our Savior, realizing that he was wounded for our transgressions. I remember going back in that time, and a number of those friends are now with the Lord. They've gone to be with the Lord. But we were so keen that in the town, as it was then, of Newport in Gwent, in Monmouthshire at the time, on a Saturday night was a time when the young people gathered around the town and they walked the streets, and we just wanted to share the good news. We wanted to witness. We wanted to be a witness to tell people, you know, come and know Jesus and it'll make a difference in your life. And on Saturday nights, we used to go out into the streets and invite the kids, our own age, to come into what was the YWCA building and come and hear the good news. And many times the place was packed. Very often with people who we had invited in, who would never go into a church but came to hear the good news that was shared on that occasion. And you know, the reality is that when we know what God has done in our lives, we can share, we can know, maybe people will challenge what you say, but you know in your heart what God has done for you. You know in your heart God has given you His Holy Spirit as a witness. You see, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives when we are open to Him, when we come to that foot of the cross and recognize He died on that cross for us, that He rose again victorious. When we come to that place and we invite Him to come into our lives, He comes in by His Holy Spirit, and sometimes we block the Holy Spirit. But God's Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are His, that we belong to Him, that we are His children. And you know, the reality is those who witnessed on those occasions after the resurrection, they shared. And at Pentecost especially, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit came upon them, they went out into the streets where they had previously shut themselves away because they were fearful. They were afraid that the same fate would await them. And sadly, many were taken and faced very real difficulties, even facing the lions and so on. But their faith, the realization that death was not the end, but there was hope. For me to live is Christ, says the Apostle Paul, to die is gain. Because he knew, and we know, that death is an entrance into the presence of God, and there is no sin, there is no sorrow. There is only joy in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. The reality is that we need to realize that, you know, I sometimes used to think about that. In His presence is fullness of joy. I think about the time when I get to glory in His presence. But you know, we can experience fullness of joy in His presence as we meet together like this. If only we open ourselves to Him. If only we get a little bit excited. I'm sorry, I do sometimes. Get excited about what Christ has done for you. Be witness. You know, it is such a blessing. I know what it's like sometimes to be afraid to say anything. Again, as a teenager, I sang with a choir. Oh. If you hear my voice over this, and you know that the others needed to blend in with me. But as a teenager, I was part of what was known as the Newport Male Voice Choir, and some of us teenage guys wanted to join, and we did join, and we had the opportunity of going from church to church, various places, singing the gospel message, but also the opportunity to share by way of testimony, to be a witness for what Christ has done. And I remember one occasion we actually went to a church, and I knew that church was a church where it would be rare to hear the gospel. It was a church where the minister was a little bit modern in his thinking and really despised some of the things that we believed. And I remember, just on that occasion, I shared a testimony. I was asked to share, and I did share. And after the service, it was a Sunday evening, some of the young people said, why don't you come and stay behind? We want to talk more. And then I saw the minister come in, and I was afraid. I didn't think that I could share, because I was afraid that, you know, he would poo-poo whatever I would say, because he didn't really believe what I believed. And as I was driving home, my heart felt heavy, because I realized then that I should have taken that opportunity I had to continue that conversation with those young people of my age, to let them know the reality that God is real, and that it is a real thing to have him in your heart. It is a real thing to know God's presence with you by his Holy Spirit, that it is a real thing to know that your sins are forgiven and that you don't fear death, because you know that you have a place waiting for you in glory where you will be one day. And so I was ashamed. And I, from that moment on, tried to take every opportunity in future not to reject, not to be afraid, but to realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When the devil comes against us, when he tries to silence us, and he will do that, he'll try and silence you and try and make you ineffective. Instead, focus on what Christ has done for you, just as these disciples did. And just realize get excited about him. Just let his Spirit come to you and minister through you. You'll be surprised. You really will be surprised. There are times when you'll be afraid. You won't want to do what God is telling you to do, but do what he tells you. Remember that they wouldn't have had wine at that wedding feast if they hadn't done what Jesus had told them to do. He said, fill the water pots with water. And then he changed that water into wine. If we do what he tells us to do, we will experience the best, and other people will be influenced. I want you, and I want each of us, to think about how can we be better witnesses? How can we as a church be a better witness? How can we as a church help others to come to faith in him? I think it's important for us to realize, to get excited. We need to see for ourselves. We need to experience ourselves. We need to experience God for ourselves. God will open the scriptures to us. He will open our minds. You know, we don't need... We were talking on the way here about how people are encouraged to just close their minds, or just open them, your mind to... Just empty your mind. But that's not what we're taught to do. That's not what we as Christians should do. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to fill our minds with Christ and what he's done for us, his love for us. And then we will respond in a different way. Then we won't look to ourselves. We'll look to God, and we'll walk with him, and we'll let him talk to us. Don't let anybody silence you. I'm not suggesting that we go and buttonhole people and say, but we need to just share openly. Let people know that your faith is real, that what you believe is real to you, that you can testify what God has done in your life. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It wasn't, you know, and many times we can say, I can do it. No, but we need to say, I can do it with God's help. I remember as a young person, I realized the need for visitation, and an older man had said, maybe we should go and visit such and such a person. And I was frightened because I didn't know quite how to deal with the situation, because the lady had been diagnosed with cancer, and she was going through treatment, and she was an elderly lady, but a dear lady. But what I learned on that occasion, I went fearful, but together we prayed before we went. And when we came away from there, we said, you know, I think she blessed us more than we blessed her. Don't be surprised if that happens. We need to be open to what God is saying. Get excited, please. I'm not saying about, as I say, I don't want to encourage you to buttonhole, but I want you, the reality of what Christ has done in your life, to be seen. to be witnessed by other people. It's amazing how God works. And I don't know. I want you to have your own experience of God. I remember a friend of mine who had read the story of George Muller, who had provided home for many orphans in Bristol, England. And he lived by faith. He didn't have a lot of money. He just trusted God would provide for the kids that were in his care. And I remember my friend said, you know, I decided that I wanted my own experience of God's provision in that way, that God can provide in miraculous ways. You don't need to put out appeals as some people do. You just trust God and he will provide. And he never put out an appeal for any money in any way, shape or form. And God provided for him as he gave up his work and concentrated on being an evangelist, sharing the good news with people wherever he went. And so many people come to faith. But in his own life, he knew what it was for God to provide for him. He could testify that the God who provided for George Muller provided for him. I can testify the same too. That God can provide. When you don't see the way, he can provide. He provides in amazing ways. So have your own experience of God that you can witness. You can share. But this is what I know. This is how God has helped me in my life, through this particular situation, through that circumstance. We're not always on a high. There are times when we'll be down. But when we are down low, just know that God will never leave you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So hold on. We're talking, coming, and realizing again as we were coming this morning, as we were sharing together, that there are times when we need to realize that we need to be like children, holding a hand. A child has an implicit trust in a parent because the parent can provide. The parent can take care of things. If the child is in trouble, the parent can take over. And that's the picture we need to have of God, that God is the one that we are holding on to because he knows best. He's leading us. And he will take care of things. I cast all my cares upon you is a song that is often sang. But listen, be excited. Let you be the witness for him. You be the witness that somebody else needs. You know, day by day, we will experience different things. Different experiences teach us. God knows your need. We need to turn to God. The devil will try and get us. Don't be mistaken. But listen to what God has for you. And you will be blessed. Be open to him. You be the witness for him. The one song, one musical that stays in my mind, I've mentioned it before, was called The Witness. It was a story of the life of Christ through the eyes of Peter in a musical form. And it was so powerful that many people who went to see that for the first time understood. I remember one phone call I had from a Roman Catholic girl who had attended a church for years and had taken communion for many years. And she said, through seeing the presentation, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Only through seeing what Christ did on the cross and the fact that he rose again did she really understand what she was sharing in communion. God uses us. He wants to use us. He wants us to be his witnesses. And he said to the disciples to stay in Jerusalem until the time comes. And you know, you need to stay and only speak when God prompts you. Don't try and do it yourself. I've done it on many times. As a teenager, I learned by my mistakes. I was so enthusiastic about sharing the good news about Jesus and the way it's necessary to come to know him as Savior if you want to get to heaven. And I remember a wise man, when I was in that choir, we walked along the canal banks in Boston in England, and we talked. And I said, you know, I hear all these things that we must be witnesses, we must share, we must tell the good news with everyone. And I said, I'm really finding it hard at work. He said, when you're at work, you should be working. Who's paying you? You know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's. And he said, yeah, the opportunities will arise, but you are there, you're paid by your employer, you should get on to work. You shouldn't be preaching all the time. Preaching your breaks, okay, or sharing the breaks, but not. We need to be open to what God has and the timing he has. He will give you opportunities you'll never, never understand, if only you're open to him. So let's close our time together by singing, Rejoice, the Lord is King. 342, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice. Rejoice, again I say, rejoice. Let's stand to sing. Thank you for the joy that you give us, Lord, and we pray that we might be excited as we share what you have done in our lives, as we can be as those who witnessed the risen Christ, that we in our own way can share and be excited. So bless us, we pray, that we might be bold witnesses for you. Let your Holy Spirit work through us. Let us be open to you, that you'll lead us and guide us to where we need to be. So we pray that each of us here today will know your special blessing, the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.